Cue theme music. Here's part three of my interview with Carly Schuler, where we're talking finally about digital textbooks, something in need of a new metaphor.
We've talked about the different kinds of technologies. Now I want to focus on this issue of textbooks, and remembering that I'm coming from the perspective right now of somebody who has content. I've got great content for textbooks. Some of it's online, some of it's not. Mm-hmm. How do you think teachers are using traditional textbooks, and how has that changed?
Okay, so I think teachers are using traditional textbooks in the traditional way that we've always used them. Mm-hmm. So this notion of the digital textbook is relatively new. I mean, people have been talking about it for a while, but not actually doing it. So now we have these textbooks that are called digital textbooks, and by and large, they created a digital version of a paper textbook because digital requires new metaphors, and they're still using the old metaphor of binding and pages and... And that's what a textbook is. What's different is the nature of the content I can display. I can have video in there, I can have sounds, and I can have hyperlinks. Mm-hmm. I can link to other sites on the internet, or I can link to pages within the book. Mm-hmm. And okay, so that's a step forward, but that's not really transformative because we're still stuck in the metaphor of the book. Mm-hmm. So Apple recently releases the iPad, right? And, you know, okay, so I think the iPad was probably released premature. There's a lot of scuttlebutt around it, no camera, different issues. They're competing with Amazon by developing their iBook store. So a lot of interesting developments. But what's really interesting about the iPad is that it's a new metaphor. Because the iPad is not a book. It's a platform. And if we start thinking about digital content as being published on a platform and people developing content for that platform, so the example I'm thinking of is like Wired Magazine developed an app for the iPad. And to read Wired Magazine on the iPad, there's a really great video on YouTube you can see this app that they've developed, and they've completely changed the metaphor. You can manipulate the content in any way you like, and they've got built-in RSS feeds. So when you get your issue of Wired, you're not just getting the news of that instant; you're getting all the news as it gets updated live. One thing that I think is missing from they have the pinch, so you can zoom in, make pictures bigger, make them smaller, and all that. I don't think they fully explored the possibilities of that platform. One of the things that's changing about the internet that is changing our culture is that we're moving from a consumer society to a prosumer society, where we both produce and consume. So when we start thinking of quote-unquote digital textbooks, we should start thinking of them as developed on platforms. Platforms that enable us to dip into that river and pull that content in. Platforms that pull that content in through, you know, a screened resource. So I'm going to pull in from an RSS feed, a trusted source, to bring me up to date information about whatever the content is that we're dealing with. And we have to stop thinking about content as static. Like textbook publishers, it doesn't matter what textbook you're selling. If all you're selling is content, you're very soon going to be out of business. Because all the content is out there for free. If all you're selling is content, no one needs you. What you can sell is how that content is presented, how that content is filtered in the sense of pulling the cream of the crop, getting the very best of that content delivered efficiently and quickly to the user. And here's something that I haven't seen yet, is opening the door to the user to use that content to create new things and then share that. And it's part of that prosumer culture that we've got now in our society. So we have to stop thinking about textbooks as books And we have to stop thinking of, you know, any textbook company that continues to think of themselves as providers of content isn't going to be around very long.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, it's, you know, I may be wrong, but
no, I think it's a great point. I think you're absolutely right. I think that's why, you know, people like the organization I'm working with are mm-hmm. trying to figure this out. I think
yeah.
that's exactly right.
Yeah. And so, but you see, that's really challenging for textbook companies because for literally generations,
mm-hmm.
that's what they've done. They
mm-hmm.
were, they had the content. They occasionally added to that content, but the content itself doesn't change much over time, just the way it's packaged. But the ultimate
mm-hmm.
package, of course, ends up in binding it on paper. We're not limited by those things anymore. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, as one of the nice things, I was talking earlier about smart boards, right? And one of the ways that fundamentally changed the class. So if you're preparing a lesson for students and you have handouts, it's on the paper. Well, you can't change your handouts on the fly,
mm-hmm.
right? Like if suddenly new information arrives in the room, yeah, well, I was up till 3 a.m. last night developing these handouts. I came in early this morning so I could print them for you. And for me to change these handouts now, I've got to go back, I've got to edit it, and then I've got to print it again, and then I've got to give it to you. Whereas
mm-hmm.
when it's digital, you see, we just click and say, no, here it is. We access the RSS feed in our reader, and then there it all is. It's right in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
So these interactive whiteboards, so for example, like Smart's notebook software,
mm-hmm.
well, to add another page has a marginal cost of exactly zero.
Mm-hmm.
So my lesson can have an infinite number of pages.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, with the whiteboard, the kid writes their work on the board, or the teacher does, mm-hmm. and then they rub it out. And then they do it again. You don't do that with digital ink. But walk into classrooms, and for teachers that still think of the interactive whiteboard using the whiteboard metaphor, they write on it, and then they
mm-hmm.
rub it out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what happened to the glorious mistake? What happened
That's
to good. Capturing the thinking that
uh-huh.
happened there before? Instead, capture that and add another page. The marginal cost is zero. Your lesson can have infinite pages if you wish. Add
mm-hmm.
as needed. And
mm-hmm.
and I don't have to transcribe anything. I just clone the page with the click of a button.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is transformative.
Yeah.
But if you have a teacher who's still thinking of the interactive whiteboard as a whiteboard, it's
mm-hmm.
almost unfortunate that they're called interactive whiteboards.
Mm-hmm.
It should be something different because
so
we need new metaphors.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's almost too bad they look just like a whiteboard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally agree with you. So on a little bit of a different note, other than traditional educational publishers and
mm-hmm.
other than hardware providers like Smart,
mm-hmm.
What other kinds of companies are selling digital products or digital content into classrooms or into schools that you know of, if any?
Well, there's lots of people selling digital stuff, but teachers are more interested in free.
Right, yeah.
And now that the internet is becoming an operating system...
Mm-hmm.
So that we run all our apps through a web browser, it doesn't matter what operating system's running on your computer. So, for example, if
mm-hmm.
you and I are going to collaborate on a document, for all I know, you're running Linux. But it doesn't
mm-hmm.
matter if we collaborate on a Google Doc.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what systems we're using. The internet becomes the operating system.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the apps that we're using are accessible through web browser. Essentially,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the whole notion of cloud computing, right? All
exactly.
you need is a browser. You need a computer
exactly.
with an internet connection and a browser, maybe some small amount of disk space, but not a lot, because everything will live in the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
with the suite of free apps, and
mm-hmm.
and like you really got to read that book, Free.
Okay. I'm totally going to. It sounds fascinating.
Yeah, it's and of course, he's giving it away for free. And
right.
there's a podcast you can download, so if you want to listen to it in the car.
Okay.
And that's interesting, too, that he's giving it in a variety of formats. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's free, it's called free, and what format works for you is the format you can have it in.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so teachers are not likely to spend a lot of money on proprietary apps.
Right.
Because most of the apps and most of modern business is using this freemium or free plus, or some
mm-hmm.
companies are just giving it away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like Google's giving everything away. They
yeah.
make all their money through ads. So, you know, it was interesting. I saw an interview. So there's these big marketing company called Gardner in the States invites
mm-hmm.
Eric Schmidt, the CEO of Google,
mm-hmm.
to this big conference, and they're just talking with him on the stage. And in the first 15 minutes of the interview, they talk about, well, we use this metric, and how does Google reference this metric? And he says, Google doesn't use that metric. We don't care about that. That's not relevant. Uh-huh. And you could see he's completely overturned their horse cart, because that's what they do. That's their bread and butter. Those are the metrics that everybody uses. And
yeah.
Google says, no, we don't care about stuff like that. We just want a big user base.
Yeah.
As long as we have a big user base, everything else takes care of itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and in the first 15 minutes, he very adroitly and pointedly throws out all their assumptions and
mm-hmm.
says, you know, it's a new world out there.
So
I can't remember the name of the conference, but so the point that I was trying to make there is that it's the same point I've been making all along. It's like, you got to think different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the world has changed. And so what we do has to change. And if we're going to do, my former principal was fond of saying, if we continue to do what we've always done, then we'll continue to get what we've always got.
Mm-hmm.
Except now that's going to change. If you continue to do what you've always done, you're going to get nothing.
Right. Yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
It's very true. No, it's a great point.
Cue theme music. Thank you.